You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to be with you again, as it always is. And may we learn together today. May Yahweh reveal to us today. And may we understand with a new understanding. The title of this message is Wisdom's Child, Part 3. We've been going through the Proverbs, and it's a delightful experience. No matter when I've read the Proverbs, it's a delightful experience. As I always do, though, I wish to speak about something. I asked Yahweh, what should I speak on before I speak on the Proverbs? And lo and behold, this is about the time of Jacob's trouble, and it's the restoration of Israel and Judah. You know, last week I spoke about how there were two sticks. And then we've been splintered ever since. And then if we could bring these splinters back together, we could make one huge club and club the Jew over the head with it. Yes. Well, we're clubbing them anyway. And they're starting to show some signs of wear. Praise be to Yahweh for that. As we see here, it says restoration of Israel and Judah. So we see that the northern 10 tribes, and then Judah and Benjamin down the bottom. So, this is from Jeremiah, and it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, thus speaketh Yahweh of Israel, and what he's saying, write all these words that I have spoken unto thee in a book, for lo, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith Yahweh. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now, think about what he's saying here. And these are the words that Yahweh spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith Yahweh, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail? And all faces are turned into paleness. He actually questions that. And all faces turned into paleness? Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yahweh their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear not, O my servant Jacob, saith Yahweh, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to save thee. Though I make full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, ye will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith Yahweh, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, and thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. You know, this is, of course, talking about a different time, but it's also talking about this time. Are we not captive yet again? Are we not troubled? Do we have a medical system that does not heal? We have no healing medicines. We have all kinds of medicines. Yes. Sorceries. But what about healing medicines? You know, so it's very interesting that he said he will bring again the captivity of his people. Today, do we have anybody to plead our cause? Is there anyone pleading the cause of the seed of Jacob? I don't hear anybody. All I hear is condemnation. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. He gives you the reason why he did it. But it's chastisement, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what we're reading about in the Proverbs. Be thankful for the chastisement. It is for your own good, or our own good. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things to thee. He's repeating it again. Now listen to this. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they shall spoil thee, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And they that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Now, I'm sure it was true in the time of when they were taken to Babylon and when they were taken to Assyria. And I'm sure it was also true in the time of Egypt, these same types of things. You know, this is a shadow of today. It's telling us something about today. You know what I mean? And so, this shows you about that, you know, like this is talking about another time, but we find this in the Bible all the time, that this is talking about us now. We are in captivity. We have people that are devouring our goods. They're devouring us. The blacks alone are killing our people on a daily basis. We're being devoured. Our finances have been devoured. our good blessings have been devoured. So let's read again. See, what he's saying to you is, why are you crying about your affliction? You caused this because of the multitude of your iniquity, because of your sins were increased. And thanks be to the Father, because this just brings me back to something last week that I'm going to explain to you right now. I'm going to stop right here in the middle of Jeremiah, and I'm going to explain something to you. Because it has everything to do with verse 14, 15, right now. Now, I've told you that Yahweh revealed to me that the law, if we as a nation, or all of our brother nations, would begin to obey Yahweh's laws, this would produce freedom and liberty. So obedience will produce freedom. I thought it's the most amazing thing, because you hear the terms of freedom and you hear the term liberty and you get a kind of an idea what it is, but you didn't really know how it was produced. You just wanted to have freedom and liberty. But see, Yahweh revealed to me, and I've been telling you this for some time, and I'm going to keep repeating it until we all get it. You see, we can't have strangers among us because they will not obey Yahweh's laws. You can see these blacks won't obey Yahweh's laws. You can see the Muslims won't obey Yahweh's laws. You can see the Jews won't obey Yahweh's laws, and etc. So you have to have a nation by yourself. We have to be in a nation of our own people. And if we all follow the laws of Yahweh, I'll explain it to you again. If we're following the Ten Commandments, or following what Yeshua said, love Yahweh thy God with all thine heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So if you love your neighbor as yourself, you don't want to be stolen off of, do you? So therefore, you should not steal off your neighbor. You do not want your woman to be taken behind your back, so therefore do not do that to someone else. And all those things. So as we obey Yahweh's laws, the freedom that comes from it, it means I don't have to worry about you stealing off of me anymore. I don't have to worry about you trying to steal my woman behind my back. And you don't have to worry about me stealing or trying to steal your woman behind your back or whatever other things or coveting thy goods, etc. Therefore, that produces freedom. Freedom in my mind, freedom in my soul, freedom to know I don't have to worry about these things. I don't have to be concerned about these things. Because as a nation, and as a people, we love Yahweh, and we are loving our neighbors as ourselves. These sum up the law, said Yeshua. So basically, we're going to obey Yahweh's laws. So therefore, it brings great freedom to our nation. It brings great peace to our nation. It brings great liberty to our nation. Now you know how liberty and freedom and peace are achieved. But this was the key. I was thinking about this. On the other hand, if you wish to lose your liberty, if we do not obey Yahweh's laws, if we get fat, dumb, and happy, if we no longer seek his wisdom and his counsel, if we begin to steal off our neighbors and so on and so forth, well, what happens is we lose our freedom. We lose our liberty. And we lose, most of all, our peace. Are you understanding what I'm telling you? So So don't cry about it. It's because, you see, when your blessings dry up before you, then you might have to break further laws. You might have to steal to eat. You might be watching Talmud Vision, where they tell you it's normal to go out and have an affair with somebody else's wife. Everybody's doing it after all. Oh, really? So therefore, when you get caught up in these things and you're told to be a separate people and not have these people in your nation, number one, the trouble started when you let the Jews stay in the nation or come into the nation. That's where the trouble really began. So it's a progression after this happens that we end up in a multitude of iniquity. And therefore we lose our freedom. Therefore we lose our liberty. And therefore we lose our peace and peace of mind. Now, that's just pure common sense, ladies and gentlemen. And praise be to Yahweh for revealing it to you and to me. I thank him for it, because I never knew what produced liberty. I only heard about liberty. I didn't know what produced peace. See, if you're not stealing off your neighbor and you're not coveting his goods and you're not trying to steal his woman, there's peace in the land. Do you understand? If you're not bringing in people, Negroes and other strangers, you see, Africa is one of the largest continents in the world. You can see Yahweh's wisdom by putting those people on that continent, can you not? He didn't want them taken off that continent. And they're not happy on this continent. And they should be removed from this continent and put back on the continent that Yahweh designed them to be on. You see his wisdom? He knew that they would be having babies and babies and babies, so he made a larger continent for them. So by having them in our nation, it causes sorrow. It causes unrest. It causes sin to abound. So let's read verse 14 in the light of what I've just told you, verse 14 through 16, and you will understand what I just told you. All of thy lovers have forgotten thee. Remember, America was a loved land for a long time. It was the most cherished and sought after nation. And Europe was as well. All of thy lovers have forgotten thee. You get what he means by that? They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. This is why I did this, saith Yahweh. This is what he's saying. So as your sins increase, there goes your peace. There goes your liberty. There goes your freedom. There goes your blessings. Verse 15. Why criest thou for thine affliction? What are you crying about? You caused it. Thy sorrow is incurable. For the multitude of thine iniquities. Repeating himself again. He repeats himself for a reason. Because thy sins were increased. I have done these things to thee, he says. But he's merciful. And here's what he says. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. Right now we have the flood around us. They are devouring us. They are destroying us. They are just horrible, horrible people. I never would have guessed the Muslims were this horrible. And the blacks have shown themselves to be this way anyway. The more you see Yahweh, like I was saying on the Revelation show, is the reason why God said that he will wipe away our tears and there will be no more sorrow and all that at the end of the book of Revelation. But you might have questioned, well, why does Yahweh allow these things to happen? Well, you just had an answer why. Because of the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. That's why. So, let me go again. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. In all thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. So we wonder how, you know, I was speaking with somebody last night, and I was telling them, I'm not sure in which way Yahweh will. It says that the earth, in Revelation 12:16, that the earth will save the woman, which is us, Israel. And it will swallow up the flood. This is the flood, they that devour thee. All thine adversaries, all the other races, except for the Japanese and maybe a couple of others, are all our adversaries now. Every one of them shall go into captivity. And they, you know, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And they that prey upon thee, you can see they're preying upon us all day and all night, they will be given for a prey. So there's a clue on what might happen to these people when the earth swallows them up. Maybe some of them will go into interim camps that are in our country that you thought were made for you. Maybe what I pray for is that there will be a serious plague that will not affect the seed of Jacob, but will affect these people that devour us, these people that are our adversaries, these people shall go into captivity and so on and so forth. Hopefully, I've been praying that there will be a plague. Because what I said before is the reason why Yahweh is allowing these blacks to do what they're doing in our country and so on, and the Jews, what they're doing to us, and all these Muslims and everything else, is because Yahweh is allowing them to complete their sin. He is also allowing the Jews to complete their sin. Once their sin is completed, it's like he's allowing them to judge themselves. Once they hit the full threshold of completion of sin, once they've done everything and can do no more, at that point, it'll be it. He's allowing them to do these things to us, not only as a judgment, but as a judgment to the families of the earth. I told you this before. That's why this is happening. The more they afflict us, and the more they do to us, and the more they prey upon us, the more they damn their souls. You talk about blind. So verse 17, there's hope, you know. Verse 16 showed us hope. So verse 17 says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith Yahweh. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after." Now it says this is the restoration of Jacob. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. You see, that's one of the problems with our race at this point. The only day of the year they have any thanksgiving is on Thanksgiving. And I'm not so sure they're thanking Yahweh. Believe me, thanking Yahweh is one of the keys, and I've told you this over and over. You must be thankful. You can't just forget all about him and then decide, well, I've got a trouble in my life, so I'll seek him now. And I'll seek him early, as it says in the Proverbs. He won't listen. So thanksgiving, you know, in heaven, thanksgiving is going on all the time. Thanks and praise to the Father. It goes on all the time. Now, down here on earth, with most of our race, it doesn't go on at all. And you can see the other races, the total unthankfulness. They come in our lands, they're given things, and it's a blessing from us. And rather than blessing us back, they curse us. Same thing with the Jew. They follow everything the Jew does. The Jew gets allowed into your nation, and instead of being thankful that he has a place to dwell because he's an outcast himself, he's a vagabond and a wanderer, which is a curse upon him. Instead of being thankful, they curse the land. Believe me, you have no idea what this is doing to them and what's going to. This is part of allowing them to complete their sins against us. They're heaping coals of hot fire upon their own heads. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the real truth. So, verse 19 again, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them shall that make merry, and I will multiply them. And they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, as it was before. And the congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves. You know, unlike it is today, their nobles shall be of themselves. You know what that means? It means that the kings and the noblemen shall be of their own race instead of some other race, instead of some Jew. And their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. You see, instead of what we have today, we have Obama, who is a Falasha Jew. We have Hillary, who grew up in the home speaking Yiddish. She's a lesbian, a race-mixing lesbian, and she's a Jewess. I mean, she's a hefty cocktail. And then we have Biden, who's a Jew. Oh, you didn't know that? Yes. And I could go on and on and on. So listen again, verse 21. See, this is a rejoicing. When we get back to our own selves, when we are governed by our own people, when our nobles are our own people, this is what we will have again. See, their children also shall be as aforetime. It used to be this way. And their congregation shall be established before me. It used to be that way. He will restore us. So, and their noble shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause them to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahweh? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And that is the way it should be, ladies and gentlemen. That is the way it should be. Behold, the whirlwind of Yahweh goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of Yahweh shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed, this is what it says, he hath performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. Let me read that again. See, they didn't use the proper words in this verse for some reason, so I'll fix it. The fierce anger of Yahweh shall not return until he hath done it, until he hath performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. We are in the time of Jacob's trouble. We've been in trouble before. This was told about when Isaac said that Jacob's yoke shall one day come off your neck. And that happened when Napoleon allowed them out of the ghetto and decided to make them equal citizens, etc. Ever since then, the yoke, the chains on the ghetto, the chains on the street at night were lifted off Esau and Esau's posterity. Edom is in modern Jewry, no doubt about it. So, we are in this time of trouble now, and it continues. It's a short while. But it seems long, doesn't it, when you're going through it? When you are captive, when your money is being stolen, your hard work is being stolen, your children are being destroyed. Well, don't cry about it. It's because of the multitude of our iniquities. It's because of the increase of our sin. It is as I have said. If you do not obey Yahweh's law, and you do not love him and thank him, and you forget about him, and do not desire his counsel, you shall not have liberty. You shall not have freedom, and you shall have no peace in your land. Do you want to reverse this, dear listener? Then begin to obey Yahweh's laws. Obedience is extremely important to him, and it's extremely important to us. Whether you think so or not, are you a rebel? Did the feminist make you into a rebel against your husband, against your God, against the men of your race? Did the Jewesses in feminism do that to you? Has it been good for you? Has it brought peace of mind to you? Has it helped your race, or do you not care about your race? Has being a man instead of the woman that Yahweh desired you to be? Has it been good for you? Are you happy? Did you follow the Jew trail your whole life and then decide you wanted to have children and couldn't do it? Are you happy because you followed the Jew instead of Yahweh? Was it a happy trail for you? And because you may not wish to admit you were wrong, maybe you'll continue helping to destroy your own race. Maybe you will complete your sin. I won't answer these questions. I know the answer to the question. It's time to begin to return. Return to the righteous path. It's time to shed your fear. Fear of Jewish code words. Fear of being called a racist. And all the other nonsense that goes along with it. That was back in school time when you were called names. You're telling me as an adult you can't take a little name calling? Do words hurt your feelings? I know how the world tells you just how important your feelings really are. And for God's sake, we wouldn't want to hurt your feelings. When are you going to get over that? Your feelings are not that important, and neither are mine. Whoever told you your feelings were important was lying to you. Now listen, I'm not saying that how you feel about things, is not important totally. I'm just saying that you've put too much. We as a people, we as a race these days, and of course all the other races too, because it's a Jewish thing, have put way too much importance upon our feelings. We wouldn't want to step on anyone's toes. We wouldn't want to hurt your feelings. I mean, that's almost one of the worst things you could do. You have to realize that feelings is how you've been manipulated. Feelings are how you are being manipulated. And if you do not stop this nonsense now, you will continue to be swayed about like the clouds without water. By your feelings. I have to keep touching on this and keep touching on this because still today, those poor people, I used to say there's a whole world of people out there just waiting to be offended by me. And it's not like I even have to try to offend them. I mean, they just sit down and write 1,000 things that offend them. Oh, this offends me, that offends me. And they're just looking for a reason to be offended. Get over it. Let it go. And tell yourself, my feelings are just not that important. Yeah, they're important to a point. I'm not saying they're not important at all. I said they're important to a point. But they're not important to where every, to the highest level. I don't know how else to put it to you, but you got to get over this. Okay, so now we shall go into the Proverbs. Always a delight Now you shall see that the words I just read to you in Jeremiah, you will see the correlation as we go through Proverbs. How do I know that? Because I saw it myself. I didn't read these ahead of time. I just know that when I just read Jeremiah there, that I see the same things in Proverbs. Now listen, and let's go on. Keep your concentration. Let me take a sip of coffee. Keep your concentration. Enjoy these Proverbs. Devour them, because they will be a blessing to thee. They shall keep thy life. We're in chapter 7, in case you would like to read along. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Right away, you see the correlation, do you not? Obey. Keep my words. Keep my commandments. Verse 2, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Would that be a Gentile? Yes. Okay. Verse 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through the casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. Subtle, you know, subtle. Who is the most subtle beast of the field? Is that not funny that the dragon is called the most subtle, and he's a beast of the field, and so are his children. They're not equal to us. They never were. And I proved it to you by telling you that Napoleon let them out of the ghetto to make them equal citizens. They were not equal. So they were beasts of the field too. Subtle beast of the field, just like their father, with a small lowercase f. And behold, okay, now 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, listen to this, I have peace offerings with me, just like the Jew. Always talking about peace when he's telling you different. This word peace sounds good, but when you get trapped in this snare, you will have anything but peace. So I'll say it again, verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with the coverings of tapestry. with carved works, with the fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. Now let me stop right there. So she has a good man. She has somebody that she's involved with, but while he's away, she's a harlot and harlot. What did I just tell you would happen if you go into another man's wife? Would it bring liberty to you? Ladies and gentlemen, answer the question. Would it bring liberty and peace and freedom to you if you go to someone else's woman when the good man is not at home? Let's find out if you're paying attention. No, it would bring the opposite. It would bring bondage. It would bring anger. It could bring you death, etc. So she says, for the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Pay attention. Or as the fool to the correction of the stocks. You know, you have to think about that for a moment. If you're in the stock market and you play in that game, I'm sure there are people who win. But it is the same as going after her straight away, as an ox goeth to the slaughter. If you're playing in the stock market, generally speaking, you're going as an ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. A different kind of stocks than that was talked about here was what I'm trying to say to you. And the correction of the stocks means that they went down, yours went down, and your wealth was transferred to a Jew somewhere else. As an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. I just had to hit you with that one. Think on it. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. This is the counsel of Yahweh. This is what you don't pay attention to, and you wonder why you're caught in the stocks. You wonder why you're being slaughtered. Therefore, I'm going to say it again. Hearken, that means listen. Listen unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Will you hearken to wisdom, to Yahweh's wisdom, to Yahweh's counsel? This is just one example. Or will you listen to the Jew and end up in the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death? This is how wisdom can save you from this. His counsel told you not to go unto her. Don't listen to the flattery. Let's go to the next chapter. Chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry, or I would say, does not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. Yes, she crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city. You see, I think, you know, I have new insights as I'm just reading this, at the coming in at the doors. Let me tell you something about America and the Jew. Now, I'm going to do something on The Wizard of Oz. I've been thinking about it for quite some time. I've watched the movie and written notes on it, and I'm going to do that one more time. But I'm going to explain something to you, what he's talking about here right now. The farm was a protection to all of us Israelites. It was a form of protection. It was the fact that you had your own land. You didn't need a job. You didn't need a job in a Jewish country. You didn't need to buy organic food. You traded with your neighbors, and the land yielded organic food. You didn't have to pay high prices for it. You didn't have to rely on a supermarket, a Jew supermarket, that's poisoning you to death. You had your own water well. Your children were protected by the farm. You didn't have a middleman Jew or government trying to take money out of you for trading goods with your own people of your community. It was a protection financially. It was a protection by nutrition and food. It was a protection because you didn't need to have a job or move to a Jewish city to have a job. So what is being portrayed in The Wizard of Oz, I'll give you a hint. When Dorothy was in the farm in the beginning, the film was in black and white. Now, that's a wonderful idea to start a film with black and white and then go into blazing color. But you see, there's more to it than that. What it was trying to say is the farm is boring. Come to an exciting place like the city. Like Emerald City. Did you know that the devil's favorite color is green, not red? And the road will be paved with gold. When you get to the end of the road, yellow brick road, there'll be gold in the city. There'll be excitement. There'll be color. Oh, in more ways than one. That's the message. It was to lure the females and the children away from the farm so that there may be no next generation to take on the farm. Therefore, the farm could be bought up by large Jewish companies that wanted to make sure that not another Israelite might not have that farm and have that protection. So the lure of the city, because the farm is so boring, was to lure you away from the herd, away from the protection of your family, especially females like Dorothy. And so they lured our daughters to go to Jewish cities like Hollywood, where they could be isolated from the herd. And I told you that's how it's done. When the lionesses hunt, they find the weakest of the herd, they isolate it and take it down. So there is protection in the farm, there is protection in the family. And once they are isolated, your children are isolated in a college or whatever it might be, a city or a Jewish-run corporation, they are now vulnerable and easy to influence and prey upon. That's what it's about. So when the film turns into color, it means she left the farm. And away from that black and white boring farm life is oh so much excitement, says the Jew. Do you know how many women and even men have been taken by this? And destroyed. Now you know why the Jews, when they get into a country, like they did in Russia, the first thing they did was get rid of the farms. And took the farms away from the people, because it was a protection. Once they took the farms away, they gave those families one potato per week to live on. I want you to think on that for a little while. So, coming full around here, doth wisdom not cry, and understanding put forth her voice, she standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of paths. You see, if you were lured onto the path of the yellow brick road, if you had wisdom in your brain, in your heart, in your mind, and you had the counsel of Yahweh, you might have been protected. See, as you were coming to the gates of the city, wisdom's crying out to you, watch out, watch out. Now listen, she crieth at the gates, wisdom does, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. The warning, wisdom crieth as you go into the city, warning, 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 warning. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the openings of my lips shall be right things. Notice right things. Notice how the left is where the sheep and the goats and the communists and the, you know, all the Jews and the politicians on the left. Now, it doesn't matter anymore today. The right is the left and the left is the right, so there's no difference. But understand what I'm saying. Yeshua will have the sheep on his right and he shall have the goats on his left. So hear, for I will speak of excellent things. At the opening of my lips shall be right things. Righteous. Right. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Righteousness. Right. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than the choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Let me read it again. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil. Pay attention to that. Remember, the beginning of wisdom is to fear Yahweh. or the beginning of knowledge. But also, the fear of Yahweh is to hate evil. And he goes on from there. The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. There's more that Yahweh hates. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. You can see that they don't have his counsel today, because no real kings are reigning, and there is no justice in the justice system. By me, wisdom, counsel, by me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Well, that's no longer true anymore right now. But that does not make this false, because it's not true today. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find thee. But what, remember, we read before that they would not have his counsel, they would not have his wisdom. And then they would seek him early, and they would not be able to find him. You must keep him in your life on a daily basis. You must not just wait until trouble comes into your life and then try to summon up the genie. It doesn't work that way. How would you like it if you had a friend that you didn't hear anything from, but when he needed some money, he gave you a call? How'd you feel about that? Well, now you know how he feels about it. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Now, he's speaking the wisdom or counsel. That it will help you with. Riches and honor are with his counsel. Because you shall have favor with both Yahweh and with men. Men being of our race. You'll never have favor with a Jew. You can forget about that. They're not men. They're sub-races. I don't care if you believe in their lie of equality, their fable of equality. That's all it is a fable. And if you believe that fable, you're a sucker. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, let me stop right there. We have a man named Mike Murdoch that says all you have to do is give him $1,000, and Yahweh will increase that $1,000 back to you. Now, who do you believe, Mike Murdoch, or do you believe Yahweh? Understand what he's saying right here. My fruit is better than gold. See, if you get wisdom and you're righteous and you keep his commandments in your heart and you write them on the table of your heart and you obey him and you take his counsel and you love his counsel and you cherish his counsel, he says, my fruit or counsel is or wisdom or knowledge is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Wait a minute. I thought it was that he would cause those that gave $1,000 to Mike Murdoch to inherit substance. There's something wrong with the picture. And I really doubt it's with Yahweh's picture. You see how little things... See, Yahweh does give riches and honor to those that have wisdom. And he does cause them to inherit substance. But it's not by what Mike Murdoch said. It's by loving him, loving wisdom, loving counsel, loving knowledge. My people perish for the lack of knowledge, Yahweh says in another place. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. Do you understand? He said that if you get his counsel, if you get wisdom, if you get knowledge, it will bring you long life. And you will inherit substance. No, you don't, have your wallet and stick out your wallet and have some satanic devil pray over your wallet so that Yahweh will bless your finances. No, that's not how it works. No, 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 no. And it makes me very angry, and that's why I have to raise my voice a little bit, because may Yahweh strike that man down. And may it be as soon as possible. And I pray that in Yahweh's name. So, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Yahweh possessed me in the beginning of his way. Yes, when he created the world, it said in Proverbs that he used knowledge and wisdom. He spoke it into existence. So Yahweh possesses this knowledge himself. He possesses this wisdom himself. And therefore, since he possesses these qualities, he's able to counsel you and I, dear listener. And that's why you should value his counsel. Who better would you get counsel from than the Father himself? Or the Word, or his Word? I don't know anybody. Yahweh possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning. Or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, as I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. This is speaking of wisdom. This is speaking of knowledge. Now, does that not hit you heavy? Because I'm telling you, that is some serious, serious stuff that's being said right here. So I'm going to read this again. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, hear it, and be wise, and refuse it not. Don't be rebellious. Don't be unteachable, incorrigible. Hear the instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of Yahweh. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Get it again now. The Jews hate Yahweh. The Arians hate Yahweh. I love my Arian brothers. They know the Jews are the enemy, but they hate Yahweh, thinking he's a Jew God, which couldn't be further from the truth. Pay attention. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of Yahweh. So what he's talking about, whoso findeth me is wisdom. Me is knowledge. So whoever finds wisdom and knowledge shall findeth life, and shall obtain favor of Yahweh. And I told you in before, it said, for both Yahweh and men. But listen carefully now. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. All people that hate wisdom and knowledge love death. Now, what do you think of that? All they that hate wisdom and knowledge love death. You ever see people in our society? They wear all these skull t-shirts and everything. They love death. They're rebels. Rebels without a cause, many of them. They hate instruction. They know everything. They're incorrigible, unteachable. And when they do these things, they bring harm to their own soul. All they that hate wisdom and knowledge love death. I see many death lovers in our society. Well, we can go an extra chapter, I think, today. Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She cried upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I hath mingled. Let me stop right there, because I see something in that right there. In the Last Supper, Yeshua said, and he is the Word of God in a flesh body, which is Yahweh in the flesh. He said, take and eat of my body and drink of my blood. It's the same thing here. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eat of my body, take of my body, and drink of my blood. Because he is the Word of God. Because he is wisdom and understanding. Because the Word of God is truth. Because the Holy Spirit is truth, the Spirit of truth. You understand? Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Do you see the difference? The difference of the two is one loveth instruction, and the other hates instruction. You must love the truth. You must love to be taught. You must be humble and teachable. Roger says, humble means teachable. Hello out there, Raj. He who humbles himself, and I'm not reading from the scripture here, but I'm quoting Yeshua. He who humbles himself shall be exalted, and he who exalts himself shall be humbled. So we see here that he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner. This is wisdom. Don't waste your time even trying to teach them anything, because they are unteachable. They are exalting themselves. They are above the law. They are above being taught anything. Therefore, wisdom would tell you, don't even bother reproving a scorner. It will do you no good. All that will happen is he will hate thee. But you rebuke a wise man that has wisdom and knowledge, and he will love thee. Remember that the next time somebody rebukes you. Nobody rebukes somebody for no reason at all. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. You see? You got to look at it this way. I guess today's world would call it being positive. I love all these people that are positive. You know, there could be bricks falling from the sky, bouncing off their head, and you'd say to them, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm doing great. How about you? It's a little ridiculous, but that's the way it is with a lot of people. It's almost like a religion to be positive. And for God's sake, don't speak any counsel to them, and don't speak any wisdom to them, and don't try to teach them anything, or else you're being negative. Yes. How many times have I seen that in my life? So give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. That's why you should love instruction. As long as you know it's sound instruction. As long as you know it's righteous instruction. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. Again, there it is. These things are repeated for a reason. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. For by me, wisdom and understanding, thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. This is repeating, and many of these things are repetitions, but it seems like it's what it takes to get through to people's heads. They need to have it repeated to them. However, do not be angry about it. Understand that it's for your own good. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Let's, just for the sake of things, let's look up scorner, because we've heard the word, and sometimes you may think you know what it means, but I'm not exactly totally sure of what it means, let's say. Open or unqualified contempt, disdain. His face and attitude showed the scorn he felt. The object of derision or contempt. Okay. A derisive or contemptuous action or speech. To reject, refuse, or ignore. I guess you could call a scorner a skeptic. Now, I'm known to be skeptical about the things in the world today, but I'm not skeptical against Yahweh's wisdom and teaching, you see. To laugh, to scorn, to ridicule, to deride. That's what many people do when you tell them the truth, right? So this is the advice Yahweh is giving you. See, many of our own race love to scorn when we tell them the truth about things. When you tell them that the false flag events that are going on in the nation are not real but are actual crisis actors and so on and so forth, they laugh you to scorn. They ridicule you. They deride you. You're wasting your time by even trying to tell them the truth. They love not wisdom. They love not understanding. They don't want to know the truth. If they wanted to know the truth, they'd be telling you that they were false flag events. Do you understand? So if you're trying to tell somebody the truth and you find out that you're being ridiculed, you're being scorned, mocked, laughed at, derided, it's the same thing as casting your pearls before swine. All they'll do, they are precious to you, these pearls. They mean something to you. They were a piece of knowledge that you got that was precious to you, and you wish to share it with somebody else, not harm somebody else with it. However, it's not precious to them. They don't seek knowledge. They don't care about knowledge. So they will just trample it underfoot. So when you see that happen with somebody, don't waste any more time. Wisdom would tell you, don't waste any more time trying to tell them any truth. They've already shown their cards to you. They're fools. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on the seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Who is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, stolen waters are sweet. Oh, that sounds like a Jew to me, doesn't it to you? Stolen waters are sweet. You know, things you shouldn't be doing that you know you shouldn't be doing it. Well, those are the best things to do, the forbidden things, you see. Stolen waters are sweet. That, now, if that isn't the devil and his offspring, the Jews, I don't know what is. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So remember that. I'll repeat it again. So he says, whoso is simple, let him turn in. When that woman calls you, that hooker, that harlot, if you're simple and you have no understanding, go right in there. Fall right into the trap. And the trap is used with words and flatteries and things that were taught by fallen angels, like eyelashes, makeup, jewelry. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, saith the devil. But the simple knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Well, the Pope says hell does no longer exist. They used to use that for indulgences and other things, but now Yahweh does not judge. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it worked out. We made it through four chapters. I hope that this, I asked Yahweh that this message would go far and wide and that it would reach and clarify. And may you have learned many things in this message. I certainly know I've learned some things here. And I'm very pleased and I thank Yahweh for teaching us and revealing to us. And for the hope that he gives us with his mercies and kindness. Seek ye wisdom, ladies and gentlemen. Let it not depart from you. It could save your life. It could extend your life. It will be a crown of righteousness to your life. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.